Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is an
Eden
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
He knows nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Welcome, everyone, to ENN on this beautiful Tuesday evening in New York City. Start off today by saying good evening to Michael.
The show you're doing right now is slated for two men, the chubby guy and you.
And good evening to Don.
Who's Robert Moses?
What?
And good evening to Joe from Staten Island.
That's a joke as far as I'm concerned.
What?
Bring back the old days.
Okay.
I don't know.
Anything else?
Francis Albert Sinatra.
And?
Why do you have this guy Rosenberg on the show?
And lastly.
What?
I recommend you listen to the podcast from today's show if you're just now getting to the show. And we didn't spend a lot of time on this today, but I'd like to start, ENN, with it, with a rare message. I'm going to look directly at the camera here. This is big.
Oh, wow. Dramatic. Yeah.
Here is the statement that we received 2 weeks after the death of George Floyd, when everyone has made a statement on what has happened. Here's what the Madison Square Garden released. Every one of us has a role to play in creating a more just and equal society where there is no racism, bigotry, violence, or hate. We stand with all who act for positive change. This is literally a disgrace. I mean, this is so embarrassing. I try to defend the Knicks when I can and not villainize Dolan, but this is borderline disgusting. I mean, you have a team basically, and coaching staff, basically completely comprised of black players, a fan base with a huge, huge percentage being black. Not to mention, it's not only black people who have the right to be offended by these things and be upset that black people have been mistreated for so long. But let's just keep it to that. How could an NBA team be so out of touch that they not only ignore it and don't comment when the rest of the free world, you're talking about major corporations, everyone, people who are not risk takers have all commented, they lay out, and then they wait 2 weeks to give us that? They don't, nothing specific about black people, nothing about police brutality, no Black Lives Matter, nothing. They were scared to do anything. It sums up what they are, a big, fat bunch of zeros. This is one of the reasons they're stuck in the place they've been for so long. They refuse to take a stand on absolutely anything. And this was such an easy opportunity to do something that your fan base could at least be proud of and rally around. And what do they do?
Here's what I don't understand. Because, you know, Bob Raceman on Sunday had an interesting take. He said those that expect, you know, the pressure to get to Dolan, where the organization will release, he doesn't ever do that. He doesn't care how loud you scream, doesn't care how right you might be. If he's dug in, he's dug in. And you know, there's a level of that you have to respect. But this is like, why did you do this? It would have been more respectful to not do it, to continue to say, listen, I'll let my actions speak for me. I have a very diverse organization, which they do. They were the only basketball team that had a African-American GM, president, and coach. The only one. So he could say, that's my statement, and that's all I'm going to do. Then to do this, so you gave in, but the way you gave in, it wasn't a great look. I'm not going to go as far as to say what Peter said.
Well, I wasn't nearly as offended before they talked. But now
right,
this,
you should have not. You should have stuck by your guns and not said a word, because you dug in and said, I don't have to. You explained to your to your people in MSG why you didn't have to, that's great. Then don't do it. Then you'll stand alone as the only team without a statement. Now you stand alone as a team with a very benign statement, really an impotent statement. It doesn't really say anything. It doesn't. And one thing that I have to say, we said this when they didn't make the statement. Steve Stout was hired by the Knicks to improve their look, to improve their brand. He must have absolutely no sway over the people that are running the Garden. None. Because you can't believe that Steve Stout would be okay with this and be okay with not releasing a statement. So why would he even have been taking the Garden's money? He doesn't need their money. He has no influence whatsoever on what they do. Zero. He can't. Because if he did, and this is what they came up with, then he shouldn't have a job.
Here are the parts that bother me about it. Every one of us has a role to play in creating a more just and equal society. I mean, you're already not referring to anything that's happened, really, where there is no racism, bigotry, violence, or hate. We stand with all who act for positive change. They would not touch on the issue. There is nothing related to black people in this conversation.
It's a statement released after what's happened in the world, so you know what it's referring to.
Okay, right, sure. Yeah, if you wanted to read between the lines, you know that's what they're trying to say, but why are you scared?
I don't know.
What's scary about saying black people? They make up a huge part of your team, your fan base, your organization, the world, right. The country. I don't understand. Like, it's benign to the point of, like, they're terrified to even use words, so don't do it.
Well, especially when you saw the leaked email, which in essence was said was, we're not qualified to really take a stance, right? That was the essence of the email. Like, listen, we all do what we do, and, you know, we're not necessarily qualified to issue a statement, but now you are?
I will tell you this, and I have never, ever criticized people that do PR for the Garden or the Knicks or the Rangers, because it all comes down to whether one man wants something said. So you could give the best advice in the world. Right. But I'm surprised that Steve Stout, who has standing in the world, doesn't need the job, I wouldn't think. Why would you remain there if there's no way those could be words that you approve of? That didn't go far enough. I mean, you know Steve Stout. Is there any way that he could have written that?
Maybe there was pressure. Maybe there was pressure from Stout. Maybe there was pressure from Rangers PR. Again, I think they do.
Maybe this is the best Stout could get.
Maybe that was just the outcry, or maybe the respective leagues, like the NBA and the NHL, they were down to just those two, right? Rangers, Knicks. That's it. Matter of fact, in the NHL, the Seattle team hasn't even played a game yet, issued a statement. So did Gary Bettman and Adam Silver put pressure on Dolan to say, you got to do something. You know how bad it looks that every team but you in these two leagues haven't said anything?
They might have. That's a good point.
Now, maybe Jim Dolan doesn't blink at that, but maybe he did and just said, all right, we got to do something. This is what we're going to give you.
Well, I'm sure people will get upset. And I feel bad for the PR team, right? Because they'll probably, if anything, they'll hear about this conversation. And then they'll be upset and bummed out about it when they probably didn't get to even write the statement they would have wanted to write. Because I cannot imagine a PR person who does this for a living would think that this letter would hit the tone people were looking
for. Listen, between the three of us, we know just about everybody that's involved PR-wise and in the inner workings of both of those organizations. This is not a Nick Ranger thing. This is a Garden thing. And, you know, it's probably a tough spot to be in, you know, but Michael's right. If you don't want that tagged on you, then do you leave? Rose leave because of this? You know,
I don't know. You can afford to leave.
Bubba Wallace, who we talked about yesterday, is the only active African-American full-time driver in the top series of NASCAR, said in an interview with CNN yesterday that he wants to get rid of all Confederate flags at races. No one should feel uncomfortable when they come to a NASCAR race, so it starts with Confederate flags. Get them out of here. There's no place for them. he on Sunday wore an I Can't Breathe Black Lives Matter shirt. This is going to be super interesting because this should be an absolute no-brainer. We are seeing Robert E. Lee statues coming down right now. They took the big one down in Richmond, Virginia. So we are seeing things come down. But, Don, you're a little closer to it than I am because at least you've been. I would imagine there are going to be a portion of NASCAR fans who are not so swift to roll with the taking down all the NASCAR flag, all the Confederate flags.
No, because I mean I see it on Twitter. You know they believe that that's part of their heritage. They're from the South. I believe. Does it still fly in Mississippi, or has it been taken down in all the Southern states? Finally, like outside courthouses and. Has it finally been wiped clean?
Let's see.
But there, I understand. Hey, listen, we all loved the Dukes of Hazzard, and it was on their hood, right? Leonard Skinner had it in the back of their stage when they performed. Until somebody said to them, "You know what? That's not a good idea." And they go, "All right, we'll take it down." Like, well, why don't you explain it to people? You would think that, all right, you know what? It was a part of my history. I didn't know any better. Okay, we'll take it down. To fight it when you know what that represents is part of the problem we're talking about, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you don't think that there's enough of negative history to say, all right, listen, we've offended a lot of people here. You know, I didn't see it before, but now you've enlightened me. I'm going to take the flag down. But to be defiant. So, say, listen, some of the places they race, Peter, in the South. I'm sure there's going to be a few that'll take issue.
So what it sounds like is, I'm looking on the Wikipedia page for the Confederate flag. There's a NASCAR section. After the Charleston church shooting, the American Auto Racing sanctioning body, NASCAR, you may know them as, started talking about this, and they supported Governor Haley in removing the Confederate flag from the South Carolina State House. In addition, NASCAR chairman Brian France vowed that the sanctioning body would not associate themselves with the flag and wanted to eliminate the flag from races. Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Jeff Gordon, along with former NBA player Brad Daugherty, team owner, and the only African-American owner in NASCAR, also supported eliminating the Confederate flag from racing events. Prior to the Coke Zero 400 race at Daytona on July 5th, 2015, the track announced fans can voluntarily exchange Confederate flags for American flags. On July 2nd, 2015, the NASCAR tracks issued a joint statement calling for fans to refrain from flying Confederate flags at races, but many fans still continued the practice. So it sounds like this would be more a call to not letting people in with them or ejecting people with them.
Right. And do they want to do that? Inject, you know,
how can you
a paying customer?
But what do you say? How do you look if you're trying to be with the times? You have one African-American driver, which is a problem to start out with. And that African-American driver makes this really strong statement. And you go, no, sorry. That's not hearing someone's feelings. You have exactly one racer, one driver who's telling you how they feel. So we'll see. Malcolm Jenkins was on CBS this morning, and he talked about how he believes that the NFL needs to specifically address Colin Kaepernick.
I still don't think they've gotten it right. Until they apologize specifically to Colin Kaepernick or sign him to a team, I don't think that they will end up on the right side of history. At the end of the day, they have listened to their players. They've donated money. They've created an Inspire Change platform. They've tried to do things up until this point. It's been one player in particular that they have not, or that they've ignored and have not acknowledged, and that's Colin Kaepernick.
I'll tell you, Michael said this before, but like, no matter what, if he doesn't ever end up getting on the field again, there's just no denying, to Malcolm Jenkins' point, there's going to be a stink there forever. It really is the only way, and it would still, the story would still be the story, but you would have sort of this happy ending if you saw him suit up and play for a team again and work with the NFL after his career then and future efforts. Let's just be real, guys. I know it's not realistic, but wouldn't you agree that would be a much more happy and cleaner conclusion to this all than they don't say anything and hope the story fades away?
Well, the fact that they didn't say anything wasn't by accident. I bet you that what Roger Goodell said was legaled up to the nth degree.
Yeah.
So if they apologize to Colin Kaepernick, even though they have an agreement with him, does that reopen the agreement? So, not so sure.
But, you know, I was thinking about, like, what if they were to put together a committee of people to try to evoke change and make Colin Kaepernick a part of that? But would that just look like grandstanding? You know, invite him to a camp only to eventually get cut? Is that grandstanding? You know, you want it to be a legitimate gesture. You don't want it to be forced. There's got to be something that they could do involving him that doesn't look like it's just, we want to get people off of our back.
I just think the only way is he signs to a team and spends a season with the team. I know that may sound unrealistic, and who's the team that's going to do that, and how do you figure that out, and what does that mean for? There's a lot of if, ands, whats, or buts. There's tons of them.
But
I don't think the bad taste will ever go away from a lot of people's minds until he's on a team.
I believe that there's got to be a team. I know it's been 4 years. It's a long time, and there were some struggles even before he was blacklisted. But would you worry, Peter, if you were like a team that said, oh, I got no problem signing him. Come aboard. And you got to cut him. Like, are you afraid that if I cut him, I'm going to look awful?
You would...
That might be a legitimate case. He hasn't played in 4 years. It's not impossible that he could maybe not make the team.
It's not impossible.
I mean, I think to tell me he can't make 32 teams sounds ridiculous, but it is possible that one team signs him and they go, listen, it just didn't work out. We're going to have to
let you go.
Here's
the thing, though. And so this is how I look at it. The Jets were able to have the quarterbacks on their team that they had on their team last year. Fails made a 53-man roster.
Right.
There's no way Kaepernick can't be on a team somewhere. So you're right, Don, if it was the wrong choice and it was a team that was going to have a really tight cut line, that would be tough. But if there was a spot for a team that goes, hey, we're going to carry three quarterbacks, we're good with three quarterbacks, we're going to have Cap as one of them.
Well, that's why the NFL's got to be smart and be involved. Right.
Right.
Like, all right, what general managers are interested in signing him? Okay, all right, there's six. Okay, let's look at the rosters of those six. Which of the six does he have the best chance of making it? Because I don't want it to be a token gesture. Hey, look who your third-string quarterback is. Really? You know, like something like that to just wake it up. So that, because you can't tell me there's 32 teams that can't have him.
Again, we talked about this yesterday. I can't believe there's not a team that would see use to him in the way that New Orleans uses Taysom Hill. I just can't believe that.
Now, what is he willing to do? Is he willing to be a second string quarterback or a third string quarterback? Is he willing to be in the NFL as that rover type position, or is he hell bent on being a starter and that's it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Starter to me is tough, Peter.
That is tough.
4 years out.
4 years removed and coming back as a starter
in the NFL. That's hard. So, what's his commitment to do this and go through it, only to know that you're probably not going to play?
Listen, all I know is he's continued to work out through everything, through the Atlanta thing, through everything. He's continued to stay in shape, and he's supposedly in amazing shape and wants to keep trying. So, I don't know, but I know the times are different now. This is a different moment in time, and I'll tell you what, man. We mentioned this way back in the day too. Can you imagine if it came full circle? And Shanahan signed him back in San Francisco.
Right.
Not to be selfish and be a bad guy here, but let's be honest. We all know what they care about. What does that jersey sale look like? You kidding me?
And really, how many sponsors do you think you'd lose right now in the current climate?
In San Francisco in particular, but with a lot of places. With the current climate, how could a team pull out? How could a sponsor pull out? They'd look terrible.
Yeah, they wouldn't. They would then be penalized.
Right.
Now, would it stop season ticket holders from writing letters or canceling season tickets? I mean, I can't put it past people. You know, I am sure whatever team signed them, there would be a backlash from a fan standpoint. But how much is that?
And by the way, and in this season, how many fans are going to be in the stadium anyway? There might be no tickets.
I mean, really, what are the chances that there'll be fans in the preseason?
Oh, my gosh. I would say zero.
Zero? So you're thinking maybe opening day, but still, that's well. I can't imagine there's going to be 80,000 people at MetLife Stadium in September. Because that's what, Michael? Like 3-4 months before the prediction of a vaccine?
Yeah, and that's just a prediction. Yeah, you don't know. Although, you know, in Texas, they say you could have 50% capacity, so who knows?
But 50% capacity.
Cowboy Stadium is 50,000 people.
All right, but 50,000 people. So you're telling me that you wouldn't be able to sell 50,000 tickets in Dallas, Texas because they signed Colin Kaepernick?
No. No.
Wow.
I don't think it'd be an issue.
Well, someone just sent me a petition from change.org to get the, which I'm signing as we speak, to remove the Confederate flag off I-75 and I-4 in Tampa. It's gigantic. Gigantic. Why are people so excited about their losing flag? You lost. It's the, RJ, hit the drop. It's literally the most. It's the most ultimate. Just take the L of all time.
Just take the L.
My God, you historically lost.
It was hard.
I might have told you this story before. I took Nancy to Richmond for a NASCAR race. Great track, and in Richmond, Virginia, is the Confederate White House, and there's a cemetery, which there's actually, I think, 3 or 4 former presidents buried in there. So we went for a tour. And
through the cemetery?
Like, through the history, through the cemetery and everything.
Nothing says love like that.
And that was interesting. I think Monroe might be buried there. And
are you talking about from Full House? I mean, from Too Close for Comfort?
No.
Wow, that is obscure.
And we had to leave. Like, the woman doing the tour was talking about, and can you believe that the soldiers from the North shot holes in this painting? This beautiful painting has holes in it. And then she said, hey, you know, a misconception is that the Civil War was about slavery. There were other issues that the South was fighting for besides slavery. It was like,
Was that the point when you and Nancy tapped each other?
Yeah, we're like, all right, yeah, but you know what?
We should get lunch.
That's a real tough one. So it's like, all right, we're good. You know, this is, we want.
Then they actually, after that, Peter, they went to an embalming place. Just to continue.
You know, not every trip that you go on is about sex. They were experiencing.
Did I even say anything about sex?
You said real romantic.
Feeling good about things.
Sex.
Donovan, it sounds like a lovely trip where you hung out with the racists.
After they went to the embalming factory, then Nancy took Don to see a passionata.
Do you have any idea what it's like to be married, Michael? Because I'm
not
sure.
Yeah, I do. I'm very happily married.
I'm sure you're happy.
Jody is too.
I took Nancy to Richmond for a NASCAR race. Great track. That's a great track. It was fun. It's a short track. I love the short tracks.
So a big date for Don is was she a fiance then or a wife?
I think we were married, yeah.
Hey, sweetie, let's go see cars going 120 miles an hour. Go left. It'll be fun.
You know,
quite such a bad guy.
Yeah, but Michael dragging Jody to, you know, some like nondescript Yankee game on a day off from him doing Yankee games. Oh, that's romantic.
When have I done that?
You haven't done that.
I love baseball. Yeah, if she wants to go to a Yankee game, we'll go. And if the kids want to go. 99, baby.
I just don't understand how you...
Well, you have some nerve. I went to see Downton Abbey. You think that was really my speed? We went to England. Don't tell me that I don't take Jody where she wants to.
Yeah,
love
England. That's where you're killing me. She almost killed you. And I think there's enough evidence to believe that was the end game.
That was not the Downton Abbey trip.
That you had to go up those stairs.
No.
Remember that story, Peter, where
that was the Italy trip.
But I'm saying that she took you on a trip. She knows you intimately, and she thought you had a chance of surviving that, and you barely did.
It was a wake-up call.
But why did you do it? Why did you do it? Because you know what? The love of your life asked you to do it. That's why. And so you do it, and it's okay. But then I do it, and I'm some sort of
subservient yo-yo.
You're
changing your whole thing. You say that she never does anything. We never do anything that she wants to do. So you're changing your whole argument. I just said, I don't think it's that romantic to say, honey, let's go see cars go left.
And I don't think it's that romantic that your wife tried to kill you.
She didn't
you,
try
Peter?
To kill me. She's Peter, had many opportunities.
No, I've heard the stories. Was this the trip when you came back and licked the floor at JFK?
Yes. Vigorously. Wasn't just a dab, it was a lick.
Right. And you don't think that, obviously we know Jody and know that's not the case, but if you're just kind of a neutral observer, you would say there's a chance that his wife was trying to kill him.
It's been speculated about before. I can't comment one way or the other.
I enjoy going to races, Peter.
I know. You don't have to convince me. I think it sounds like a great trip.
Do you ever support me at all? Ever, Peter? Ever?
No, but you started the attack here that it was a bad trip. She loves NASCAR. He took her on a NASCAR trip.
Rick DiPietro said nothing makes a woman more into it than NASCAR in Richmond.
Listen, Nancy's not every woman.
Say DiPietro.
No, but if you like NASCAR, that's a really good track to go see a race.
That's right.
I took her to the Brickyard in Indianapolis. That was amazing too.
Can you say that again without the little flub there?
No, I'm not on demand.
The Jets are going to cap off their virtual offseason with in-person workouts in Miami. Sam Darnold's going to be there, and so is almost every key offensive skill player, which actually, shockingly, includes Le'Veon Bell. Can you believe that? Le'Veon
skill player, right?
Yeah. Well, no, and I said the key part was every key offensive skill player. Frank Gore will be there. Perryman, Crowder,
Leslie
Mims,
Gore,
and Chris Herndon. Yeah, and Leslie Gore. Todd Gurley's passed his physical. He's a Falcon, guys. And Dabo Swinney defended his response.
Who is this? I never heard of Peter.
Dabo?
Dabo Swinney?
Do you say Sweeney?
Sweeney.
I pronounce it properly the way it's spelled.
How do you pronounce it?
Swinney.
Swinney.
I don't go full Sweeney. I thought it's Swinney.
Is that true, Michael?
I think it's Dabo Swinney.
People just go Sweeney. I go Swinney.
This is the day of drops.
I'll just say Dabo, okay? Anyways, Clemson's head coach defended his response to finding out that an assistant coach used a racial slur. And Monday, he gave his first public comments. Here's Dabo, and this is from ClemsonTigers.com. This is him talking about supporting the Black Lives Matter movement.
I wholeheartedly support Black Lives Matter. In fact, I don't quite think that's adequate enough. I think Black lives significantly and equally matter. To me, just Black Lives Matter is kind of like, hey, we matter too. I think Black lives significantly and equally matter. God loves us all. None of us are better than anybody else. It doesn't matter what the color of our skin is, where we're born, any of that stuff. All right. In the eyes of God, we are all equal.
Now, his tight ends coach, Danny Perriman, wrote a text message in 2017 with a slur in it. And Dabo said about that, there wasn't anything swept under the rug. There wasn't some dirty secret. We handled it head on. Forgiveness and grace is important. It's important for any of us. But I've known Danny for 30 years, and he's a good man. He's had incredible relationships with his players. So he was briefly suspended, but is staying with the team.
You know why Dabo finally spoke, right? Because he showed no judgment whatsoever. He was someplace where he wore a Football Matters t-shirt. Again, the tone deafness of people are amazing. Now, a lot of people defended him. Trevor Lawrence came out and said, he's had that shirt for a couple of years. He wears it all the time. But don't you look at it before you put it on and go,
let me not wear a Matters shirt right now if it's
right. You just don't. Like, Don puts his NASCAR Matters t-shirt away now.
That one really got to put away. Now, ex-Clemson players DeAndre Hopkins and Deshaun Watson have weighed in supporting the removal of John Calhoun's name from the Honors College at Clemson. Social media is all over this. He is the, first of all, massive slave owner and... according to specifically Hopkins, he said on social media, that's the reason he doesn't mention his school's name when he's introduced before NFL games.
Interesting. Now, Rick DiPietro defending Don now.
Okay.
He said, I proposed to my wife, Cassie, at a Motel 6 down in Newport Richey just before we headed over to a monster truck rally.
Okay.
He's mocking me.
Oh, that's mocking me.
No, oh, you don't know if that's true or not.
I took Nancy to Richmond for a NASCAR race. Great track. Rick DiPietro is not going to a monster truck rally. Come on.
You don't think so?
No.
His wife is from Florida. Maybe she likes monster trucks.
No.
I'm going to go to a monster truck rally when everything loosens up.
Really?
He's asking me to go.
I've been to one.
Really?
It's so loud. It's the stupidest, loudest event of all time.
Why would you go?
What do you mean? Yeah, why would you go?
I'm going because my son wants to go.
Well, I was a son at some point. I was like 8, 10 years old. I think it was a friend's birthday party in D.C.
Father's mother of Jay's.
Well, Rick clarifies things. He said he actually went to the monster truck rally because the cockfight was sold out. That wasn't what he
wow. I told you. I told you. There's no way.
Yeah. Don, he was completely mocking you. I apologize. By the way,
Rick from 10 to 1 every day with Dave Rothenberg and Chris Canty. They're a great show.
UFC's Fight Island is located in UAE, it turns out. United Arab Emirates. And Dana White says it will host UFC 251 on July 11th, as well as 3 fight night cards on the 15th, 18th, and 25th of July.
Would you bet your life savings, which are significant, that Conor McGregor stays retired?
Come on.
No, I would not. However,
why is this different than the previous two?
Well, the only difference in what's going on now is that you have a lot of big-time fighters really going head-on with Dana White about money. That's sort of the bigger story. I talked to Ariel.
Very, very expensive to buy an island.
I talked to Ariel this weekend, and he was like, don't get caught up in the retirement part of it. Just pay attention to what he's saying about Dana White and the fight game. Because it's echoing what Jon Jones was saying the week before. The way Dana runs things is, it's his rules and his money.
Yeah.
So at some point, something's got to give for some of these guys who are huge stars, or he's going to lose them, which he's lost them before. So we'll see.
Yeah, but what's their option if they don't fight for him?
Bellator, a couple of other different ones, but not. But that kind of money, it's going to be tough. You know, frankly, if Conor McGregor wanted to put his money where his mouth is, and he was really about that life, he should just start his own.
Or why doesn't he fight Mayweather again? Mayweather tweeted out, said, oh, now I'm not going to be able to fight you again and teach you a lesson. Boom. You know, Dana White's not even involved.
Well, I just mean if he actually cared about the fight game and wanted to get people more money. You take a couple names like Conor McGregor and Jon Jones, they go start their own Fed, headline the first couple fights themselves. Guess what? All of a sudden, Dana White's got trouble.
By their own island?
By their own island. That's right, Don. Fight Island 2. And last couple things about broadcasting. Kevin Harlan says that TNT broadcast crews will all be calling games from the studios in Atlanta.
Does that even mean the conference championship?
I don't know.
So I wonder if ESPN's going to do the same thing.
Yeah. I don't think there's going to be any announcers at these hub places.
For the NBA finals, they're not going to have Breen and Van Gundy and Jackson there?
No. Unless something changes, but why?
The one thing I've heard is that not until the conference finals would there be any consideration for broadcasters being in this setting.
So then, I mean, TNT does have one of the conference finals.
So for the Western Conference Finals, then, if that's what they are.
Maybe that, you know, think that's still a long way off. I guess it could change, but. And I don't think the media is ever going to be able to attend. They might be able to attend. They're not going to be going in the room.
Hello, friends. Jim Nance is going to be alone in the tower. Players will be mic'd, and there will be some other broadcast tweaks when it comes to the PGA Tour, which is back this weekend. So,
it's funny. Jim Nance is going to be in the tower, and his analyst, his main analyst, I forget who it is, will not be. He'll be like home, broadcasting from home.
Oh, not even there at all?
No. So, I mean, why would Jim Nance have to be at the tower?
Maybe he just wants to be. Hello, friends. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. That's his catchphrase.
On this day in sports history, how about 1973? Any ideas? Any ideas?
Was this the day that they retired Gil Hodges, number 14?
Ah, that's a good guess. No, Secretariat won the Belmont Stakes by 31 lengths.
Wow. One of the great photos in sports.
Become the first horse in 25 years to win the Triple Crown, regarded as one of the greatest histories of all time. In 1985, The Lakers beat the Celtics in Game 6 to win the NBA Finals for the first time ever against Boston. LA had lost their first 8 series against the Seas. And on this day in 1999.
And now Ricky leads off the bottom of the 13th against Graham Lloyd and takes a strike. So it'll be Henderson, Alfonso. And remember now, the pitcher is in the third slot with John Olerud having been replaced as part of the double switch.
Bobby Valentine, the dugout.
Wait. Give me that again. Well, Bobby was thrown out on that catcher's interference call, and he's gone incognito. Sorry, Skip, we got you.
Wow, narcomania running wild as Bobby Valentine returns to the dugout
you
with dark sunglasses and a mustache.
You had to comment.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.